time zones confuse me.
And that is the thing that, like, there's time zones confuse you.
It's always a different time.
Somewhere. Yeah.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. So-
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Star Wars Explained Weekly Q&A. I'm Alex.
And I'm Molly.
And we got a new background. We finally pulled the trigger. Molly has been talking about doing this for like a month now, and we finally did it.
Yay, I'm so happy. I like this new setup. I was just saying, I feel like I'm doing an interview, being interviewed. It just feels, the vibe is different.
Yeah, it does feel, we're like, it's the exact same thing, but for some reason we're a little more nervous. Being able to look at each other a little easier. We have more comfortable chairs. We've got a tiny table, a new home for Cobb Vanth, or whatever can go there.
Oh, yeah. Alex is like, and then we'll put Cobb Vanth in the middle.
Right, where he belongs, front and center.
And I was like, why him?
Because he looks great there.
He's just the new thing.
What else would go there? We can put whatever is relevant here. Yeah. And right now, Cobb Vanth is very hot.
Okay.
He's very relevant.
Because he's a hot toy.
Mm-hmm. He's a hot toy, hot man.
And I put a blanket down for Hilo, which you all cannot see, but I wish you could.
Yeah, I am most interested to see what the pets do with this, because Hilo would normally lie down underneath the table, and then people would see Pippin jump up and battle with Hilo or just walk all over the place. And he doesn't have as many places to walk now, so... He might just hop into our laps. We'll see.
Yeah.
Hilo seems content right now.
Pippin has a very small window here, yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
But he's got laps, so he might be okay.
Anyways, hello.
Let's talk about some Star Wars stuff. Not a ton going on this past week, news-wise. I wanted to talk about just the experience of putting out our first FAQ video that came out this past Monday. That was an idea Molly had sometime last year. And I was like, that's a really good idea.
I think it was like November.
Yeah.
Because we
brainstorming new ideas for this year.
We do most of our brainstorming and talking of ideas when we are walking Hilo. So I was like thinking about how we didn't know what was going to happen this year. We didn't know when anything was going to come. So we were like, might have a lot of downtime. What other kind of content do we want to make? And I was like, let's take it back to basics.
Mm-hmm. And you just had this idea of collecting all of the questions that we get all the time. And maybe this will help some people who, like, it did feel like going back to basics and answering questions that I feel like I just have the answer off the top of my head for most of them, because we talk about them so often, or we get the question so often. Mm-hmm. So A New Hope is out. It's doing pretty well, which I'm excited about. People seem to like it. We spent a lot of time on it. It looks a lot better than I would say most of our other videos do. Well, I guess from my perspective,
there's a lot more editing involved. I had the idea to add all of the video clips, which probably added a lot more editing time. But
yeah,
let us know if you enjoyed the little video snippets, because
that was a little dicey just as far as YouTube goes.
Yeah.
Because you know you can only use so much before you'll get flagged, because you can't just upload the movie.
Yeah.
Obviously
they will demonetize your video if it has like more than a couple of seconds of like a movie or song or something. So
but I wanted to say,
keep it tight.
From my perspective, it felt nice to like work really hard on one really good video and put that out and feel really proud of it, whereas I feel like a lot of the things that I have done, it's like they're answering questions, but it's just very simple editing. Mm-hmm. And simple presentation. And I was like, this feels nice to do something on the level of, like, not quite the level of the canon timeline video, but something in between that I was still like, I'm very proud of this video.
Yeah. And something we can just go movie by movie.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, do one for every movie.
And maybe multiple per movie, because people are already leaving questions and I'm like, that's a pretty good one too. But for now, I am working on The Empire Strikes Back. We're also going to do The Phantom Menace soon. My original idea was to do like the original trilogy, then the prequels, then the sequels. But since The Phantom Menace is coming out, or is it's coming out again, maybe it will. But since it's going to be its 25th anniversary, I wanted to make sure I had that done and ready to go for May, so that we're just going to like celebrate The Phantom Menace in May. That'll be fun.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that if you haven't seen it yet, please go watch it. I think it's really good.
If you don't watch it, just like put it on the background, let it play, give it a like.
Or I will say that the video probably isn't for people who like watch the Q&A and watch like really diehard watch our videos. I would say it's more basic questions.
Sure. But there were a lot of comments on that video that were like, I've seen this movie 100 times and I didn't know that. So you might learn something.
We did have one of our friends, Zach Burkett, who has been on the channel before because he beat me in Star Wars trivia at Dragon Con back in 2018. But even he texted me and was like, oh, I had never thought about, I think it was gravity on the Death Star. So he learned something. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe there's one fact out of the 40.
Yeah. And if that's the case, then it was worth it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was kind of, I guess those are the big two things that we got up to this past week was, reorganizing everything. I guess I'll give Molly a picture, but there's, also a whole bookcase.
Yeah. Don't worry about the books. They're still here. They're just over here.
We got a new bookcase and then we were like, we'll just have display stuff behind us, book over there or books go over there. And then I was like, and we'll have more room for more books. And that's not the case.
No,
we completely filled it and didn't even get all our books on there. So that's annoying.
We're going to just keep adding more bookcases to this room until it's all bookcase.
We're just going to have our own Jedi archives in here.
That would be amazing. Honestly, that would be cool.
Yeah. I just don't have the space for it.
Yeah. If you're on our Patreon, we're going to release a little behind the scenes video of us moving all this stuff, and we're gonna show like square by square what we put up back here, so let's check that out.
I told Molly, I was like, we're gonna have to move all the Lego sets, and if I'm gonna move all the Lego sets, and if the worst were to happen, we had better capture it on recording.
Did anybody die?
No, everything was fine. Hilo did knock off a panel of the Millennium Falcon, but it was fine. It went right back on.
He didn't know what it was.
But let's get into some questions. And our first one is, I chose it because it was kind of a slow news week compared to the last two or three, mm-hmm. where we were getting like some movie news. There was a bunch to talk about Asajj Ventress last week, but Graham Gaskill asks if we're worried that there haven't been any new show announcements for Disney Plus. And I don't think we've had anything new since 2020 as far as announcements for brand new series. Like, we know we're still going to get Andor season 2, Ahsoka season 2, The Mandalorian is continuing.
Right. Yeah, it's like they haven't really done too many announcements. Maybe they're going in a direction where they're like, okay, we're only going to announce stuff at Celebration or D23 or, you know, official things like that, maybe. And also, I mean, the strikes probably affected some stuff and they were like, let's just wait.
I also misspoke because Skeleton Crew was announced at 2022, I think, Celebration.
We just haven't heard any updates on it.
Not since 2023 Celebration.
All we know is that there's a Lego set somewhere.
Yeah, that's the rumor in the works. We're going to get a Lego set for something in Skeleton Crew, which makes complete sense. But yeah, okay, so I think it's been since Skeleton Crew that we haven't had anything new to be like, this is on the way. No, I'm not worried about it right now. I think that, yeah, the strikes surely delayed things. I think Disney is also looking at just considering a little more what they do on Disney Plus and how much they spend. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, they were just pumping budget into all these shows. And I think that they are, they talked about a slowdown in Marvel. They mentioned a slowdown in Star Wars as well. I don't know if, like, Star Wars never had nearly as much as Marvel going on, so I'm not too concerned about that.
Yeah. I wonder what the budgets are compared to each other, though. Like, an average Star Wars live-action show to an average Marvel live-action show. Which one do you think costs more money to make?
I don't know. I guess I kind of want to lean Star Wars. I feel like it would take more effects, but I'm not sure. I know Echo, I just read that was Disney Plus's like smallest budget for any series. I think it was only 5 episodes, but it, you know, it was like a, what do they call it? A street level hero kind of thing. So I don't think we haven't watched Echo yet, but
she's
I don't think it was
shooting like plasma rays out of her hands.
No,
like
maybe she does. I don't know.
Punching and kicking.
We haven't seen it yet, but yeah, I think that it depends on the show, but yeah, I'm not sure what the budget comparison would look like. My gut says Star Wars would cost more, but that's just, I don't know. I have nothing to base that off of, so don't listen to me.
Okay.
But I am kind of expecting a new series announcement probably when The Bad Batch is over. I think,
like, a new animated show?
Yeah. And you know what? I misspoke again, because Young Jedi Adventures, I mean, I don't think, I think Graham is probably talking more along the lines of live action series.
Well, Young Jedi Adventures and Tales of the Jedi, those are like continuations of something that's already going on.
That's true. Yeah.
So I wouldn't say those count.
Okay. But I think when The Bad Batch ends, we'll probably start to hear something about the next animated series. As long as they've got one in mind, they probably already started work on it. I'm just thinking of when Rebels ended, Resistance was announced pretty shortly after. And then I think we had Clone Wars Season 7 announced before Resistance was over. And then that led into the Bad Batch announcement. So I feel like they're always, with animation, trying to keep something consistently, at least on people's minds, if not releasing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we need another animated show that is for a different age group, because Young Jedi Adventures is great. It's for a much younger audience, and then we have live action stuff, so we need something in the middle.
Yeah, like, I think there is definitely an audience for that Bad Batch, like, you know, a younger audience could watch it, like teens, but also adults like to watch it too. So I think they'll probably go somewhere Clone Wars, Rebels, Bad Batch, that age group, I hope.
Yeah. Do you want it to be like something brand new, like what Young Jedi Adventures was, or characters that we already know?
Either way, like, I'm always excited by new stuff, but if they announced Luke Skywalker training with Leia, or Ben Solo, or hanging out with Laura Santeca, or all of the above, I would be down for something like that for sure.
I would love some more Ben Solo content.
Yeah. That's
Little Ben.
We were listening to Force Center talk about the potential new, what's going to replace Bad Batch if something is on the way. And just the idea that you can explore Ben Solo's heroic days, where, you know, in the prequel films, we don't spend a whole lot of time with Anakin at like his best, and then we got the Clone Wars, and then we get to see more of the tragedy of his fall, and like, this is just Anakin being a hero 24/7, except for a few times where he'll stab someone and the Imperial March plays.
Yeah.
But to get that for Kylo Ren, I think would be interesting.
That would be awesome.
But as far as live action goes, I'm not sure if we're going to get anything announced soon. I would hope that maybe we get an announcement at Celebration Japan. But
I would love for them to just clear the air for the Lando stuff. Is it a show? Is it a movie?
Well, according to Donald Glover, it's a movie now. So I think he was the one that said that.
Maybe we get more details on that.
May have been his brother that said that, But yeah, that's true. There is something to be said for maybe Disney not announcing things all the time. Like, I guess part of the reason I'm not bugged by a lack of announcements is the fact that we've had a lot of announcements that didn't pan out. So yeah. An announcement is, it's nice to know that something's on the way, but with the amount of projects that have been announced and fallen through, like, you can announce Rangers of the New Republic all day, but it doesn't really matter until it is on our screens.
Yeah. Don't get our hopes up, Star Wars, unless you know you're going to do it.
Yeah. That's, I feel like they are being better about that now.
Yeah.
And not just that's that thing. I always go back to that 2020. It was an investor call that was like live streamed to everyone. And it was a super fun night to react to all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so many of those projects that were announced for investors.
Right.
It was like they just didn't go through.
The Lando show or movie, Rangers of the New Republic, Droids, which we still...
Droid Story.
Yeah. Whatever. Don't know what that was going to be.
Rogue Squadron. The big one that stabbed me right in the heart.
Womp womp.
Someday, maybe.
Yeah.
That'll be my hope for a live action series announcement.
Sure.
Let's do that as a series. Take some inspiration from the Legends books.
Let's get some Old Republic stuff. Like, if they're going to do a new live action project, I think it would be cool to get into the Old Republic. Because we're about to be done with High Republic, which is very sad.
Just the books,
like for phase three. But if they take a break from High Republic, the book stuff,
mm-hmm.
maybe we go to Old Republic.
I would be all for it. I think that they're just not going to do that while the Old Republic MMO is in play. Like, I feel like they should just pull the trigger and be like, it's still the Old Republic, but it's not connected to the MMO. But mm-hmm. since new stuff is still coming out for the MMO, I think they're kind of holding off on that.
I can't tell if Hilo hit the camera.
He probably did. He definitely, he did. Sticking with animation talk, Zacharias asks if we think the Bad Batch will come out Tuesday evenings like Ahsoka did, or will it be Wednesday mornings?
I have to assume Tuesday evenings, that they'll stick with the 9 p.m. Eastern Tuesday night release.
That's my assumption as well. I haven't seen any talk about it either way, but I just don't know why they would introduce the Ahsoka. It's coming out at, 9 p.m. Eastern, mm-hmm. and then just stop doing it all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Just because it's animation. Like, I was wondering if they were going to move Bad Batch back to Friday or something. I don't know why, just because it was animated and not live action, but I think it's the Star Wars release right now,
mm-hmm.
and I think they know that plenty of adults are going to be tuning in to watch it, so my hope is that it's still Tuesday evening.
I think that's just going to be like the new prime time slot for them, because I mean I know it sucks for other time zones, but I feel like Eastern and Pacific time, Pacific, I guess, is a little late, but it's perfect for Eastern time.
It's a lot better for us than having to wake up at 5 a.m. to cover things.
Well, yeah, before it would come out at like 3 a.m. Yeah. And we would just, instead of getting up at 3 a.m., we would just sleep a normal night and get up and do it like really early in the morning. So being able to watch it in like a primetime nighttime slot is a lot of fun.
I don't know why they still say, like, Ahsoka is coming out on Wednesday, but really, it's Tuesday at 9. And, like, mm-hmm. Disney Plus is not the only place that does that. When we watch For All Mankind on Apple Plus TV, it's like, new episodes every Friday, but really, it's Thursday at 9 p.m. And I'm like, why not just say it unlocks at Thursday at 9 p.m.?
I think the fact that for more time zones, it's the next day than it is the previous day, maybe.
I guess. I don't know.
Time zones confuse me.
And that is the thing that, like, there's time zones confuse you.
It's always a different time.
Somewhere.
Yeah. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Someone is always going to get kind of screwed with the time zone, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And that's, I know people were in Europe were annoyed that they changed it to Tuesday nights for us because it was like perfect for them mm-hmm. to wake up and watch it. But yeah. We selfishly really like the Tuesday evening slot.
Yes, it was us. We wrote a letter to Kathleen Kennedy mm-hmm. and said, please, 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 please. She was like, okay.
Fine. We've got one more Bad Batch question from Rick Villanueva, who asks if Crosshair knows what happened to Tech.
Ooh. Doubtful. I don't think he knows much of what's happening at all.
Right. I agree with you. I think it's also, at least at the end of season two, very doubtful, because he just looked unconscious on a table.
Yeah.
Now,
and if he did know, it might have been wiped off of his brain or something.
I kind of think that it depends on if there's a time jump at all in between seasons two and three. But I guess if he is going to know, I don't want to see it happen. I don't want to see him find out, but mm-hmm. it would be a good scene to watch. It would be very sad.
Yeah, if my theory is correct and Tech is alive, but he's being experimented on in evil, vicious ways, like, what if Crosshair comes across him in Mount Tantus somewhere and, like, sees him and is like, wait a second? And that would just be devastating.
That can be our bet for this season, that I think Tech is gone for good and you're still holding out hope. I'm trying to not get my hopes up.
Which, like I said last week, if he is gone for good, that's fine. I'm still going to hold out a little bit of hope that he's still around, even if it's in a very sad and terrible way, like he's been turned into a killing machine.
Right. We did talk about how tragic all that could be in last week or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember when that was, but mm-hmm. yeah, there are definitely ways. I guess I'm just like, I think he's gone. I'm just trying to accept it in my heart.
If that's the case, then I can finally officially grieve him. So, like, either way, it's a win for me.
As for Crosshair, though, whether or not he knows, I do think Hemlock is not the kind of villain to keep it from him. Like, I think he would actively tell Crosshair and just to be mean.
Yeah.
So,
kind of like the way he showed the rest of them, the goggles.
Yeah. Like, if it's advantageous to Hemlock to manipulate Crosshair or to tell him for any reason, I think he's going to tell him. Or just to be mean. He might just do that.
He's a mean man.
He's a great villain. I like him a lot.
He's I've talked about this before, but he's one of those quiet villains mm-hmm. that, like, almost is whispering all the time. Yeah. So you're just like, why is he so creepy? Yeah. Why is he talking so softly, but why so evil? Why has he always
got those gloves on?
Weird.
Moving out of animation, we're going to talk about comics a little bit, because Joby Wan Cannoli asks if Dr. Aphra could have recovered the artifacts Indiana Jones didn't, and if she would have destroyed the lost cities Nathan Drake found faster than he did. I liked this question on its own, but also the final issue of Dr. Aphra was this past week on Wednesday, so I just wanted to spend some time to celebrate that. But also just, it's a good question.
Let's props for a good question.
Let's talk Aphra for a little bit. I do think that Aphra could have recovered the things that Indiana Jones wouldn't, because first of all, Indiana Jones is more noble in his search. You know, he wants to help his museum. Mm-hmm. He wants to preserve the artifacts. Aphra wants to. She's actually more like Belloc, I've said, that she's more like the dark side Indiana Jones, where she tries to take things out of museums and then sell them. She wants to get rich.
Yeah, she's in it for herself.
Yes.
And for her needs.
Yeah, like, there's a great arc of the comic where she is after this thing called the Spark Eternal, and she basically gets killed by it, but it's Star Wars, so she can mystically come back. But It was very Belloc of like, I found the thing. I'm going to unlock the thing. Oh no, the thing stabbed me. So that I just, it took that moment for me to be like, she is not Indiana Jones. She's Belloc.
Do you think she would drink from the Grail?
Oh, she would get someone else to do it first.
Oh, like, yeah, and see what happens.
The way Elsa does, like, she has some Elsa in her, too. She would manipulate someone else into drinking it just to make sure. But I think she might be smart enough to know which Grail was right.
Yeah.
But I think that she probably would, like, if the Ark goes into this warehouse, she probably wouldn't be like, oh, well.
She's like, how do I bust into this warehouse? She'd
track it down and bust it out.
It's mine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it would be hard, but she could recover all of them. As for Nathan Drake and his... He finds a lot of lost cities. He finds Shambhala and all these places. And by the end, they're falling apart. Would she destroy them faster than he did? He destroys them pretty dang fast. So...
Maybe. I didn't play those games, but I saw the movie, and I thought the movie was great. It was kind of like, it was silly, and...
It was more fun than I thought it was going to be.
There were some characters that I had problems with, but overall, I thought it was a cool movie.
It was a fun little adventure. But yeah, in the games, Nathan just about always finds El Dorado, or like some place, and then just ruins it. It would be an interesting race. I don't recall Aphra completely destroying an ancient civilization off the top of my head.
Do you think she's a little more cautious and careful than Nathan Drake?
Not really. And I also, like, it's not always Nathan's fault that these places fall apart.
Sure.
Unless you count the fact that he opens doors that then the bad guys can walk in through.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue it's the bad guy's fault. You know, I just can't recall. I'm like going to the Lost City of Vale at the beginning of the comics, which that was like 4 years ago. Which, just by the way, I want to say congratulations to Alyssa Wong, because their run of Dr. Aphra was awesome. I did an interview with Alyssa and Daniel Jose Older like a week ago, and another part of that is coming out in another week or so.
Mm-hmm.
But just, Alyssa's a great person, super fun to talk to. I enjoyed their run of Dr. Aphra immensely.
They got nominated for how many GLAAD Awards?
Like three, and that's just for Aphra.
Yeah.
It's funny, Daniel Jose Older talked about how Alyssa's been nominated for like every possible award in science fiction, which I'm sure is an exaggeration, but it does seem like Alyssa gets a lot of awards.
Well, going to the right person.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
And I hope the Aphra story continues and Alyssa continues to write her. But back to the Lost City of Vale, I can't remember if that place just got royally messed over or not. And I know you haven't read those comics.
I know now nothing about
over,
this.
Now that they're over... you're claiming you're going to.
Oh yeah, the Aphra comics. I'm now that run is over. I'm gonna.
You can just binge.
Try to binge.
You can binge through it on my Kindle.
I thought you were talking about Nathan Drake, Uncharted stuff, and I don't know anything about that either.
Yeah, it's all just all just noise to you. I do think that Aphra. I mean, she brings chaos with her everywhere she goes. So. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if she destroyed a whole bunch of ruins, but...
Do you think her bumper sticker would say, like, gay chaos or something like that.
Chaos.
Chaos.
Our last question of the week is from Trill Gent, who asks if Star Wars fans are overly critical of retcons from page to screen. Obviously, we're still kind of building off of the Asajj Ventress stuff that people were debating about last week with her return, even though it does sound like they're going to do something to make sure Dark Disciple remains intact. Which, you didn't mention that you are in the middle of reading Dark Disciple.
I am. I'm like almost halfway through and I really like it so far.
I think we're going to try to, because I want to reread it, and we're probably going to try to do a little book podcast about it before Bad Batch comes out,
mm-hmm.
just to talk ourselves through it,
like
give a refresher for people.
In-depth, like, discussion, breakdown.
Yeah, because it's been like 10 years since I read it.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot
Nine years.
It's a short-ish read. It's like barely 300 pages, I want to say.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
The audiobook is awesome. It's Mark Thompson, and he is great at doing kind of like different voices for different characters. And so like his Ventress is a lot of fun.
But yeah, as far as retcons go, I think that as a whole, I would say Star Wars fans are not overly critical of page to screen adaptations. It's that I do think that when the trailer came out, I got excited, and then I went, oh, wait a minute, what does that mean for the book?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, oh no, like Twitter's gonna blow up over this.
Here we go.
So I was like, there definitely are people who get upset over that stuff, but it's people who love those stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's someone who loves Dark Disciple and wants it to be intact. And so I don't fault anyone for having that reaction.
Yeah. I think, like, to say most fans in general, it's hard to gauge because we see so many people online discussing what they think about changes being made in books or comics versus shows and stuff. But yeah, I think for the most part, people are pretty civil about it. It's just the however much percent, like a low percentage of people online are the ones like just yelling about how mad they are or saying that they shouldn't do this anymore and like saying, oh, Dave Filoni loves to
Dave Filoni hates books or whatever.
Yeah, loves to change book stuff. And so like I think percentage wise it's probably low.
Yeah,
and the people, like, that are like super mad about it.
Yeah, and I always, that's my thing, is to keep in mind that the people who are mad are just, they hold that story to be very precious. Like if The Acolyte comes out and really changes something that happened in the Light of the Jedi, which I don't think is going to happen, but I'm like, Light of the Jedi is one of my favorite Star Wars books. And if they dramatically change something in live action, I'm not going to be happy about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it can be somewhere where, like you said, it's a story that someone loves dearly, or it could be someone who you kind of also fall into this category, who is just obsessed with canon,
right,
and timeline, and like, this is what happened and here's when it happened and I know this and I can look it up and here it is, and like,
yeah,
if that gets changed anyway, that can really mess with people.
Well, that side of things, which yes, I do fall into that camp, but that's the side where I remind myself to be flexible, mm-hmm, and just like, it's never gonna be perfect all the time. I guess I don't want storytellers to be completely imprisoned by canon. Like, I don't want a character who was killed in a book to just be alive for no reason in, mm-hmm, a show. But like in the Asajj Ventress situation, I'm like, let's wait and see before we get all riled up.
Sure.
And so them getting out in front of that and communicating is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this constantly changing universe is, I'm sure it's difficult to keep everything in line. So that's when my boy here, is brought into Aftermath, or mm-hmm, into, The Mandalorian,
mm-hmm,
and things didn't quite line up from Aftermath, but I was like, it's okay. I'm willing to just take the step back and be like, broad strokes, it works pretty well.
Yeah. If you think about how big Star Wars canon is, I mean, we have a whole bookcase. You can't see it, but like, and we don't even own every single book. But as far as all the canon content in the Star Wars timeline, there's like nothing else like that that exists that has like canon, this is what happened and here's the timeline for when it happened. Like, I maybe Star Trek has something similar to it, but there's just so much content in this universe that in the grand scheme of things, if one little thing gets changed, that's going to continue to happen, like, in bits and pieces.
That's what I tell myself, too, is that, you know, like, things like this will happen, and I kind of go through, depending on what it is. I'm trying to remember the last one that I really was like, but I kind of go through the five stages of grief real fast and get into acceptance, because I'm like, it doesn't make sense to really ruin my blood pressure every time this happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, I don't think that Star Wars fans really overreact about it. Like, part of it is just a communication thing as well. When 10 years ago, when they made Legends a thing and they said, I mean, at least their intent was like, it's all going to connect. It's all going to matter. And then when that starts to not happen, you're like, but you said. And I think I have accepted that, you know, things are going to change here or there. And then I that's why I'm like so grateful for something like Cobb Vanth, where I'm like, the books do matter. Mm-hmm. And maybe the details aren't going to be perfect. But like, I was convinced that they were just going to skip over Cobb Vanth and Boba Fett would show up in his armor. And then some other book was going to be like, this is how Boba Fett, like, here's a little Star Wars Adventures comic. And mm-hmm. Boba Fett took his armor from that Cobb Vanth man. But now the fact that Cobb Vanth is a part of the storytelling on screen, I'm like, that's the other side of the coin for me, that where I'm like, it works very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people will say, you know, to the people online that are constantly complaining about something like Star Wars, they're like, why keep watching it? If you're going to let something so small as like the Ventress change, whatever they change in that, or the Kanan change, if you're going to let that ruin something for you, you can make that choice, but is that good for you? Is that how you want to consume content? Is that going to make you not trust anything else that comes out for Star Wars? Like,
to build off that, I don't really like that attitude of just, well, why would I even bother reading the books if they might change? It's like, well, because they still make you feel something.
Yeah.
Like, that's the books and any story linking up with the rest of the universe, like, that's fun and I love it. And I love keeping track of it all. I love making the complete canon timeline video, but I don't go into a book thinking of like, and this is, we'll connect the dots from here to here. And like, that's what's important about it. Like, the authors aren't writing the story primarily to do that. They primarily want to tell a good story with good characters that make you feel something.
Mm-hmm. And let them tell their own version of that story. Like, if no one ever put their own little spin on Star Wars, it would never feel any different.
Yeah. So. And like I said, it's just, I think, tough to constantly find that balance. And, you know, I should also throw out, like, this... It just feels like Legends days, which again, it kind of, they said that it wasn't going to contradict itself. And for the past, 9 or 10 years of canon storytelling, I think they've done a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
Legends had quite a few inconsistencies. And so I'm just like, yeah, this is just Star Wars still. I guess I was used to it from all the legend stories.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have for questions today. If you want to leave a question for next week's video, just put it in the comments below or sign up for Patreon to join our weekly Q&A discussion. If you haven't already, please like this video, subscribe to the channel.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Blue Sky.
And as always, thanks for watching, and may the Force be with you.